to, if you read it in last week, what it will make any lasting impact. The point is, last week we left it with the parable where Jesus is saying, I am, the Father is the vine, and you have to be, the branches have to be part of the vine. And so the main thing, the main point was, you had to remain in him. And we had got to really the point where I thought we didn't want anymore. And so I thought, we'll do part two this week. The thing that people focused on was actually last week was because they wanted, I mean, one letter and a whole bunch of comments at the door in terms of basically people who couldn't find us wanting to follow on from the actual kind of sermon, so to engage with it, which is interesting. You don't always get churches where it's like you have like e-discussion groups or like, it's usually an app. Everything's an app nowadays. But you know, something where you can discuss with the minister online. We need to try and do something like that because the people were asking questions. Anyway, the point is, one of the things that came out, which was the next bit, which was the one of the readings last week was the farmer plants the seed and whether he's up out day and night looking at the field or whether he's in his bed sleeping, it doesn't really matter. The seed sprouts and grows. The seed does that all by itself. And so some people can understandably say something along the lines of, so we're just to sit and do nothing because God just going to kind of make it happen. We don't actually do anything. And I don't think that's the point. The point is that we have to recognize that there are dangers in thinking it's all about us. And we end up defining what you have to do to be a Christian. The whole point of the Grace Course is that there is, well, right at the beginning of the Grace Course, if you were to kind of do it, one of the starting points of the DVD, the speaker talks about the fact that they had done a survey in America, but a survey nonetheless. And they'd ask Christians, is it reasonable to say that the Christian faith can be summed up in following the rules that God has for us? And I think it was something like 86% of the survey had said yes. And what they said was, it's clear evidence that keeping the rules for most people is how they define Christian faith. And if you read the parable of the vine, you're the branches, Jesus is the vine, and you have to stay connected, you have to remain in him. It seems much more about what your attitude and what your beliefs are rather than what you do. Now, I put that hymn in just before here because I think God calls us to be fruitful. God calls you and calls me to do stuff for the kingdom. The problem is the human condition means we end up defining what the Christian faith is by what we do. I'll give you an example. Barnard did another survey, it's called Unchristian, and they were trying to plot the differences. Now I should say, this is a survey in America, so you'll see stuff in here clearly doesn't apply to Scotland. But it was just this really, I just find the results interesting. What they were doing was comparing and contrasting Christians and non-Christians in how they behaved. And it was a self-completed survey. This wasn't somebody else's perception of what Christians were like. This is what Christians were saying about themselves in America. And for the sake of the survey, they defined Christian as someone who claimed faith and could articulate the gospel. All kinds of people claimed Christians. Not all of them, I think, are necessarily exactly what you would call a Christian. They added that extra in just to kind of have a reasonable sense that the person was a Christian. These are the results. Christians are people who, again, it'd be interesting, how would you fill out that list? Obvious visual things that you can tell by seeing somebody, they're a Christian. This is what they did in America. They swear less in public. They did say in public was important in that description, but they did say they swear less in public. Next one. They give more to charity. I'm not sure if that applies to Scotland. I think it might apply, it definitely applies to America, but we don't know unless we do a survey. They buy fewer lottery tickets. That's a really funny one. I'm not as bad as those people because they buy 10. I only buy 5. The point is, they buy fewer lottery tickets. I told you this was America. The next one is just weird. They're less likely to do something. I sincerely hope that isn't the case in this country. I hope the more you're a Christian, the more you recycle. But hey, that's just America. The thing about the survey was it defined how Christians define themselves as being Christians, but it also highlighted the points where Christians were just the same as non-Christians. That one's funny, that last. This one's scary. Christians are just as likely to visit a porn site. That's a bit scary. Next one. Get drunk or use drugs. There are lots of people, especially those under 30, they don't drink, they don't do drugs. They wouldn't say, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, but they look after their bodies. That's a big thing for these people who are in their 20s. So they don't do drugs. And again, we look at the statistics in schools. In this country, people are doing less drugs, they're having sex less often, obviously not a porn site more, but the point is they are looking after their physical bodies more. In other words, Christian and non-Christian, just the same. Next one. They're just as likely to lie their way out of a difficult situation as a stoic. Is that the whole point of this? Is this true of Scotland? I think it probably is true of America. Is it true of Scotland? I don't think you can say, you don't know for sure, but you can know in your own heart. Because this is the point about getting an understanding of what it is to be part of the vine, to remain in him. It means you're different. And you have to accept the fact that if you're following Christ, you're going to be different. Last one's a story. Intentionally done something to get back at someone in the last 30 days. And Lord, forgive us our sins. As we, apart from that fucking guy in marketing, because after what he said to me, sort out. He's getting it next week. How many people have done that? And the answer is, in America, the people who do it are just as likely to be a Christian or a non-Christian. But the idea that you would have somebody who says, I'm a Christian, so I'm not going to do it, that's not common. What they had at the end was a statistic. They said, they asked the non-Christians, do you know a Christian? And they said 84% of the non-Christians did. 15% of them said they have a lifestyle. This Christian that I know has a lifestyle that I see as being different from the rest of the crowd. 84% of non-Christians know a Christian who they can tell is behaving differently because they're a Christian. Just to put that in a more kind of direct fashion. The church is not going to grow if people don't look at you and me and see people living their life differently. The difficulty is that means you're putting your head above the parapet and that's scary. It's much easier to stick with the, I'm a Christian, I don't buy as many lottery tickets as the bad people who don't go to church. I'm a Christian, I don't swear as much in public. Come round to my house on Friday night when I've had an extra one, and you'll see that might not be the case in my house, but I don't swear as much outside. I'm saying, whatever the differences might be, the Christian church, the world over, has a certain list of things that we do in each culture to say, I'm a Christian. I'm not maybe as good as some, But I'm certainly not as bad as others. And I'm certainly not as bad as the people who don't go to church. We need something for our own self-worth to recognise this makes me a Christian. And so often what that means is we defer. We go back to our default setting of A, B, C, D, E. Tick box, tick box. I'm a Christian because I've ticked all these boxes. And what I'm suggesting is that's an absolute killer to your faith. Because Jesus says much more painful but vague things. What have we to do to be a Christian? We are to remain in Him. Is that all? People don't like that. Give me a list, then I can tick it and I feel better. I know I'm a Christian. I've been in church on Sunday. I'm sorry, this doesn't prove anything. Because if you can go to the church on Sunday and go to the porn site on Monday, you ain't proving anything to God. And that's why my job is to say, if you're keen on lists, then that's dangerous. Because Jesus is the one who said, if you want to get this, remain in me. So that's much more the phrase that you have to think about. That's the phrase that has to get inside your skull, and you let it rumble around, and it goes where it goes, because it has to deal with the stuff that shouldn't be there in your life. That's all. It doesn't just happen. If you remain in Him, it happens because you've intentionally decided to do something. And that means, in my opinion, you have to do things daily. I don't mean for 6 hours, but you have to chart your way walking with Christ daily. The next slide is going to come from a book. This is G.I. Packer. This is just, I kind of throw that about just to prove, yes, I am a real evangelical. The point is, this is the 25th anniversary edition front cover. G.I. Packer, just buy a book. I mean, if you haven't read it, read it. But one of the things that he does is he says, there are things you need to accept. You need to tell yourself and accept them every day. Tell yourself every day, I'm an adopted child of God. I don't know enough of you to say how many. I know enough of you to say there are people in this hall right now whose Christian walk with God would be better if that was something that they focused on at the start of every day for the rest of your life. And I say that because I think everybody who's a Christian would benefit from saying that, reminding themselves of that every single day. I am an adopted child of God. Next one. God is my true Father. We don't have time to go into all the stories, but there are definitely people in this congregation whose experience of their earthly father so totally destroys their ability to relate to their God in heaven, that anybody, a minister or a servant, saying, oh, our loving heavenly Father, that phrase itself can be an oxymoron. Loving heavenly Father, we've got loving and Father in the same sentence. These are truths that are true even when you don't believe them. And you have to come back to them every single day, because the degree to which you are weak on them means you will have an area of weakness in your walk with God, and therefore be the kind of person who doesn't follow Jesus in a way that marks you out as somebody that people look at and say, they're a Christian. They're weird. But still, a Christian. Next one. Heaven is my true home. Just so you know, it's not that I put this list up and so everyone just goes, yes, you will have problems with some more than others. I have a problem with this one. I don't have a problem with it theologically. I don't think I'm so bad that I'm not going to get to heaven. It's more, I think it's a kind of visual thing. The idea of me being in heaven, I find that quite difficult. It's not that I don't want to go there. I just, do I see myself in heaven? What I'm saying is, right now, at this part in my life, with my walk with God, I need to tell myself that every day, because it doesn't really feel true to me. It would be true for you, but it illustrates a weakness in my faith. And God works through our weaknesses. Every day is one day nearer. This is not it. This isn't even the main bit of it. This is the appetizer before the main event. We don't live it as if it's irrelevant and meaningless. But each day is a day closer for you to be your true self. Because right now, you are what the King James would call a sojourner. You are travailing in this world. You will be a blessing and you will be blessed in the next. And tomorrow you'll be one day closer to it. My Saviour is my brother. I didn't make it personal. G.I. Packer didn't make it personal. But even just the parable, we get the illustration. The loving father cares for both his sons. One messes up and comes home and is forgiven. And the other one messes up and it doesn't look like it. Okay, and the story ends really, you know how his what the outcome for the older brother is. The fact is, your Saviour is your brother. And as importantly, every other Christian is either my brother or my sister. You will treat people differently when you feel you're dealing with a brother or a sister. Having said that, some earthly brother and sister relationships, maybe you'll see the worst, I don't know. My point is, that's who the people are sitting beside you in the pew. Your brothers and sisters. So you have to tell yourself these things every day. You also have to accept some things every day. Accept the gardener's pruning. That goes back to last week's service. The gardener prunes the branches that aren't bearing fruit, so that the actual spirit that is within you, that is bearing fruit, will actually focus on the things that are bearing fruit and not keep giving life to something that's dead and gone. In my experience, my personal experience, I find that hard. Churches find it almost impossible. Churches start things and can never stop them. Elsie started this in 1962. She'd be so unhappy if we just stopped it. And the fact is, there are things that need to be stopped as well as things that need to be started. What is it, personally or as a group, that you need to say, God is pruning, he's the gardener, I'm the branch, I should accept the inevitable? That's right. You should accept every day the opportunities to speak of your faith in Jesus Christ and recognize as a just, oh, can you just stand up there and preach and say, you know, at least we've got a decent end to finish. But just do that and we'll be here and that's enough. You have to keep on banging on about the fact of the sheer faith. That's murder. Yes. And if you want to know success, if you want to know what it's like to actually be somebody who remains in him and feel the joy of the Holy Spirit, not hear it referred to in a sermon, in some way that you don't understand, or read about in a passage that you can see on the paper, but you've never seen in your real life. You know what? God blesses the stuff, not because it's wondrously thought through and successful, but because it's somebody deciding, I am going to remain in you. It's not going to go well because this person had the coffee break. I've seen them read Richard Dawkins' book, so there's no way this conversation goes well. And then you share your faith, and the Spirit just surges. And you feel like you're floating on air, because you serve, with two sentences, you serve your Savior in a way that you don't normally, that goes against the flow of Scottish culture. If you do this, you will feel the difference. If you have toiled and travailed and you believe the right stuff, but the Christian faith is just such hard work, it's like running through treacle, then what you do is you do the stuff that God asks you to, and he goes, wow, Gabriel, come on, look. Look at this. This is so bad. But he's trying. Listen. It's not about have you bought the latest resource from some church that's growing phenomenally in Tucson, Arizona. That's, you know, that ain't going to work. Not in this country. You do what you do because you remain in Him. Accept your opportunities. Again, you need to go through the alpha. You have to try and get more grace in the system. You were doing it on Thursday night, and it's difficult, it's a challenge. If you're not used to doing it, then it's certainly something you have to learn to. Where are the weaknesses in your faith? Where are the lies that you believe in? And behind the lies, where are the experiences that have given you the sense that the lie is true? And most important of all, what is the truth that you found in Scripture that you need to speak into that lie? Now, in case you're unaware, that's different for every single person. That's why I can't stand up and say, renounce this and say this. Because if it's not yours, there's no point in saying it. The specific things that your faith kind of goes off at a tangent at, that's where you have to say, I'm believing a lie. What's the truth that I need to bring to that? You have to do that daily. And as you do it, back to the forgiveness, you need to accept it every day as you show it every day. If you don't show it every day, just exactly how much have you received it? It's at that point that you begin to have the all-by-itself fruitfulness. It's not something. It's not a mechanism. It's not a formula. It's not like trigonometry. We put the numbers in and the answer comes out at the end. It's much more exactly what Jesus said, which is, remain in Him. Remain in me. And that's what remaining in Him is about. It's about an attitude of life. It's about a behavior that takes your life in a certain direction. It's not, here's my list. I don't buy any lottery tickets at all. Tick. I've never been to a lottery ever. Tick. Well, I'm not advocating you should. I'm just saying, these lists are an absolute killer to your faith because you end up relying on your ability to tick off all the lists. And what Jesus says is, remain in me. Because there's no way you could have known or memorized all those lists, if you go to the back of the sheet, you've got two lists there. How do you remain in Christ? Tell yourself every day, accept every day. And that's just those two lists. But think about them. Personalize them. Ensure that the specific shortfall in your walk with God is what you specifically address. If you address something else, it's not your specific situation. So work your way through it and spend time with it. And ask yourself, what are the things that you need to tell yourself every day out of that list that you need to go through them, and then there's one or two that you need to repeat because you're weak on them? What are the things that you need to accept every day? And again, I need to come back and remind myself of that. Not just read it before breakfast, but actually, you know, tell myself again at lunchtime, because this is a weakness. This, as you do this kind of stuff, that is when you remain in Him. And that is how you just have fruitfulness that comes all by itself. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us with